Welcome to the Common Geeking Program, a book club podcast where each of us will discuss a topic from our own geeky, nerdy perspectives. This week, I'm your host, Taimul Chowdhury, or Chowder, whichever you prefer, and we will be discussing Megas XLR and giant motherfucking robots. I'm joined by...
My name is Pat Brem. So I'm going to be repping Pacific Rim, which is probably my favorite movie that involves giant robots and giant monsters of all time.
And I'm Keenan Kodish, and I will be repping the anime series Full Metal Panic.
Awesome.
Which has giant robots in it, yes. To confirm.
So we're going to start by summarizing the topic, and then the domains. After that, discuss Megas XLR and each of the domains in relation to giant robots. Then we'll close it all off with the ratings, where each of the representatives will rate Megas XLR out of 5. And finally, I will give a gold star award to the person who I think best contributed to the discussion. Let's get going.
So, to start, is it Mega or Megulus?
Megas.
Ah, Megas. Because for some reason I always thought it was Mega.
Didn't you watch it? Didn't you hear them say his name several...
They said it. No, I thought the title of the show was Mega.
But they constantly refer to him as Megas XLR, Keenan. I just...
Yeah, and
you
know,
that.
Yusuke Urameshi's name isn't Yuyu.
Anyways, yeah, Megas XLR is a cartoon that ran on Cartoon Network. It was created by
George Kurstick. There are not enough vowels in that name. And Jody Schaefer. Yeah, it's K-R-S-T-I-C. Like, there needs to be a vowel in the first half of that.
You don't need one. Vowels are for the weak. That's a fact.
Yeah, they used to work for MTV, and they made a show called Downtown, which aired on MTV. So, you know, a lot of Megas XLR's art styles has that very MTV rough vibe to it. So Megas XLR is a parody of the mecha genre, you know, that genre of shows where it's like giant robots fight each other. It's about this guy named Coop, who is just
the worst, you could say it.
Yeah. Who is just the worst. He uncovers a giant robot from the future that happened to be in Jersey City under a pile of junk. And he, like, modifies the robot so that, A, the head is replaced with his own car, and B, it is controlled by a video game controller. It has all these weapons and modifications that were added on by him. And so, like, the alien...
He also makes it really douchey. Can we acknowledge that? Like, flames? Ugh, gross.
It's the classic hot rod look, man. It's not necessarily douchey.
Yeah, so...
I mean, he makes it douchey, let's be honest.
But he's not a douchey person, like,
I mean, he
kind of
is.
I guess...
We'll get to that. But so the way the robot first got there was a person from the future named Kiva. She tried to take the robot back in time in order to fight an alien invasion off. But unfortunately, along the way, she ended up getting attacked, and it sent her back way further than she wanted to. The time drive, the machine that lets the robot travel through time, was damaged because of Coop, by the way.
Yeah, he just smashed it.
So she can't get back to the future. So she's pretty much stuck there, and she can't even use the robot because the modifications Coop has done has made it so that she cannot figure out how to use the damn thing anymore. Now, Coop is basically in charge of just defending Earth, but the problem is he is incompetent as hell.
He just wants to get a slushie.
And more often than not, he will end up destroying Jersey way worse than whatever big bad of the episode that comes in.
I mean, to be fair, Jersey's not a very nice place in the first place.
No, but can we acknowledge how, like, unpopulated Jersey City seems to be? Because he levels it in, like, the first 5 minutes.
It is a little weird.
And I felt like there's a lot of people that should be dead right now, but apparently the only people who live in the 10 block, like the 10 mile area radius.
Don't worry about it. All the buildings that get destroyed, they are conveniently empty. Like, they even have signs that say conveniently
but
empty
he also,
building. And
he also gets stuck in traffic pretty heavy, so I mean, that's kind of true.
Everyone else in this world is also way too okay with the giant robot.
That is
he
true.
He was
like,
in traffic.
Freaking out on the interstate when he's just walking.
Yeah, and then like some guy cuts him off. And is like, oh, screw you, buddy.
And the guy has the audacity to lean out the window and be like, meh. Like, no, it's a fucking giant robot, you idiot.
Yeah.
And then he doesn't notice when the giant robot picks the car up and puts it on a roof. He's just talking to his baby.
You guys want to describe, like, the next few episodes?
Okay. Bruce Campbell comes down as a MODOK clone. At least I'm pretty sure that was Bruce Campbell.
Yeah.
And he's all like, fight in my space. I want to, were they all robots? I don't know. It's Super Space Fight Club, but it turns out he's dirty and he wants to force him to quit.
Yeah, he's rigging.
But don't worry,
fights.
We get out of it by punching things and throwing him into a black hole thing, which really should have much higher density and be sucking them all.
It was a singularity.
Oh, you're right.
Okay.
A quantum singularity.
It was similar to a black hole, but it's portable.
Is that a real thing, or is that just science junk
no, it's
thrown
not a
together?
Real
just
thing.
Making sure, because like...
To be fair, we don't even know that black holes are a real thing. It's just like it makes sense for black holes
there,
to exist in
but
the world.
Not...
Or in the universe.
I actually read a very...
Seriously,
we
don't actually
it.
Know for sure if black holes are real?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the whole like thing about dark matter is it's like we can't see it, but all of the things we can observe around it make it seem like that's the only logical existence. But we don't know for sure. You can't see a black hole because it just sucks in all the
and
light.
And they're far away.
And to see something, light has to reflect back at you.
Yeah, I read a very funny article about it, about like this one guy who was getting shit from the scientific community about it. Because he was just like... Well, I don't think black holes are real. They're like, well, yeah, then what is there? He's like, I don't know, but not black holes. It was like, it was crazy. Weirdly very scientific and also totally not scientific at the same time. He was just saying, it's not them, but something's there.
But also, another episode, there's this, like, fucking crab spider thing that comes down.
The Regis 9000.
He's got this huge god complex, like he's going to destroy the entire world and enslave its people. And he's the size of, like, a small dog just walking around. He decapitates a fire hydrant because it gets in his way and knocks him over. And
Mark five.
It destroys the slushy place. So
real quick. So in the beginning of the episode, after doing a bunch of training things for Kiva, Coop decides he really wants a slushy. And most of the episode is just him trying to get a slushy. But unfortunately, the Regis just keeps getting in his goddamn way.
But also, he wants to get a... Yeah, Coop wants to get a slushy, and he gets the fucking triple flavor cup, but he fills all three slots with the same flavor, which is just wasting space because you could get a normal cup and not have to deal with the fucking walls inside, and it would be fine. But no, he's just...
Yeah, just buy a regular cup if you're just going to do... Like, what's the point? Anyway, also, like, every time... Most of the times, it's, like, his fault. Like, he didn't have to rip apart the gas station. He didn't have to, like, throw a building, you know? Come on. Like, oh my god, no wonder it all broke, you jerk.
No, and, like, every time he destroys the Regis, it keeps coming back bigger and stronger. Eventually, Kiva's like, hey, you know this is solar-powered, and Coop's idea is, you know what? I'm gonna send the whole place into nuclear winter. So that he can't get any solar energy.
Yeah.
Just no accountability. No accountability at all. That's what I don't like about
Coop. Just completely destroys New Jersey in order.
It's Jersey City, not New Jersey. Thank you.
All right. Moving on to episode 9, Bad Guy. In this episode, after competing in a food eating competition, these Voltron/Power Ranger parody guys called the S-Force come down to Earth, believing that Coop is a bad guy, because all the footage they see of him is him destroying Jersey City. So they decide he's a bad guy, he has to be stopped. Coop ends up fighting them, and him being Coop, he beats them. That's when, like, the arch-rival of the S-Force,
don't remember names. Man. I'm bad.
Zarek? Was it like Zeke, Zarek, Zeppo?
No, I think it was something generic like Destroyer or something. Well, whatever. So he's like, ah, I see that you are a fellow bad guy as well. And Coop's just like, what? No, I'm not the bad guy.
Totally
and
was. He's
like, look at all this destruction. Look at all this destruction. Clearly you're the bad guy. And that's when Coop's like, no, tries to fight him. But, whoops, turns out Magus's power levels are at 10% right now. So Coop needs to find a way to power up. So what does he do? He decides to mimic the S-Force's mech combining thing by just, like, shoving his hand right up the ass of each robot in order to power up and, like, fight Destroyer.
Yeah,
like
kind of Puppet Master.
Didn't make sense, but all right.
Exactly.
You mean you can't just shove your hand up asses and, like, fuse with people to make one giant person? Isn't that the entire premise of
I forgot how easy giant robot making is and how simple it works like that. I'm sorry. Totally forgot. I'm not an engineer like you, so I wouldn't have known that. You're right.
Yeah. It's understandable. Yeah,
it's just as easy as operating a Muppet.
So easy.
He beats the dude by like creating like a what was it, an antimatter rift or something? By accident, yeah. By the way.
He closed a rift. Oh, that's right. He made it. That's right.
He made the rift.
Yeah, once again, he's a bad guy.
And then had to close the rift by making another rift. Brilliant. Anyways.
Well, if you just make it spin in the other direction, they cancel each other out.
Is that how
it's polarity. I mean, I don't fucking know. Theoretically,
yes. I'm not going to question Pat. He's the only actual goddamn scientist here.
My point is, it destroyed the Museum of Irreplaceable Art, and that was rude. That art was irreplaceable.
Dude, they should have just taken pictures of all of it, and then you print it out, it's replaceable.
It's irreplaceable. Didn't you?
I don't think that's
did you not know anything about the Museum of Irreplaceable Art?
I'm just saying, there's a way to replace it.
I don't think
pictures.
You really...
Let's move on to the episode 11, DMB, Department of Magus.
Bounty Hunters show up, and they're all, like, upset. And then, like, what's his face? Coop, he parks it, like, what was it, by a fire hydrant or something? And it gets towed or something? I don't know how they towed it, though. I don't understand that. Them to defeat the Bounty Hunter, they need to work through the horrors of the DMV. Yeah, so he has to, like, wait. She's fighting the Bounty Hunter, who's really after her and not after, you know. Coop, yeah.
Magus.
So, yeah, was he after Magus? I thought he just wanted Kiva to, like, get secret information about the future.
Yeah, she wanted Kiva because she's from the future, and so, you know, having future information is pretty useful. So that's why she was really here.
Yeah, but eventually, you know, he helps, and, you know... He gets the ride back and stuff, and it all turns out for the best in the classic way.
So the reason I had you watch Magus XLR. For all eternity, mankind has forever tried to create something in their own image. And when they finally accomplished that, they then came to the conclusion. What if I made it bigger? And it had a shoulder cannon. And that is how the giant robot came to be. And I thought it would just be really funny to just talk about that, rip on it, and just introduce you guys to what I think is just a really funny show. And yeah, I just wanted to talk about, like, giant robots, what makes them so fun. I wanted to talk about why we enjoy seeing the wanton destruction that comes from giant robots. And so yeah, let's move on to the domain and see what you guys are repping.
So, I brought Pacific Rim because it's just a great, fantastic movie. The premise behind Pacific Rim is that there is a rift that opens up in the ocean, and some big-ass monsters start to come out of it. We try to fight it off with our normal military capabilities, but they start getting more powerful, and they just run rampant, so our planes and our nukes aren't really doing much. We develop the Jaeger program. So Jaeger in German means hunter. And these are essentially giant humanoid robots in the sense that they're shaped like humans and whatnot, but they're just made completely out of robots. They're not designed to look like humans in the sense that they're not like androids or anything, but they're just giant robots in the shape of humans, kind of like Transformers when they actually transform. But these ones are piloted by two people who have to join minds together and go into the rift together, which is what it's called. It's not the same rift that the fucking monsters come out of, but they're drifting, I suppose, is what they actually call it. So you have to be drift compatible with this other pilot, meaning you have to do a lot of training with them, and you are inside of their head when you're in this monster's, or when you're in this robot, so that you know what they're doing, you can plan what you're doing, and you both work symbiotically. Our main character is in the
Gypsy Danger.
What's it called? Gypsy Danger is, yeah, Gypsy Danger, which is a an analog robot. Let's think about that one real quick. Which essentially means that the robot, instead of being powered by electronics and motors in that sense, each muscle strand is powered by like 12 diesel motors. So just burning through gas like it's
wait. Wasn't like Gypsy there's Danger no tomorrow. Like,
later it was. Originally it was not. That's later.
I'll get to the significance of why. Yeah, I'll get to the significance of the analog robot because it's hilarious. But the pilot of this and his brother are in there together. They're drifting, and the brother ends up getting ripped out of the robot as they're fighting. So the main character, whose name I cannot remember for the life of me, ends up feeling his brother's death because he's still drifting with him while it happens. He has to pilot the Jaeger back to shore on his own. The experience just, like, gave him hardcore PTSD. Flash forward, the kaiju are now getting stronger, and the Jaeger program is being ended by the governments in lieu of a coastal wall to protect the cities. They're gonna build a wall,
and Mexico is gonna pay for it.
They did.
Yeah, the kaiju end up just busting just through the fucking wall in Sydney, and a Jaeger ends up stopping it. Yeah, it's just a fucking wall, and this dude's monster. A giant robot.
Yeah, it burst
a giant,
through.
Monster, and eventually they just be able to fly and fly over the wall. It was a stupid idea. But the Jaegers end up stopping it. So the whole thing is, while these Jaegers are being shut down, they relocate to, I think, Singapore or something like that. They end up just, like, having one base where they operate out of. And the kaiju just keep coming back. They keep getting stronger. And eventually two kaiju come at the same time. So they need to bust out all the big guns to stop them. Double kaiju whammy indeed. Meanwhile, these two scientists are trying to figure out how they can predict what the kaiju are going to do, when they're going to happen, and they end up actually drifting with a kaiju brain, and they find out that the kaiju are here to take over the world, and all these preliminary kaiju that are coming out are just the first test, and eventually there's going to be a bigger wave of exterminators. So they need to close the rift. Later on, these kaiju come out like immediately after he drifts because it triggered something, and they end up EMPing all of the Jaegers out there, which is where Gypsy Danger comes in, because it's an analog robot and cannot get EMP'd. Saves the day. It's fantastic. They devise this plan to then close the rift by dropping a nuke inside of it. It's a very sad moment because we lose Idris Elba and the Australian dude.
A moment of silence.
But it wasn't the Australian dude we wanted to lose, though. Let us all remember that. The son was just a terrible person for no reason. No, we lost the dad.
Yeah, we lost the son.
Oh, that's right. That's right. It was the guy we wanted to lose.
We lost the son.
You're right.
Dad stayed home with the dog.
Ah, good.
Yeah. Idris Elba had that entire speech was like, where he was like, I know what you like.
Tonight we end the... Yeah, I know, because we're definitely drift compatible, because I was compatible with your dad.
Nah, it's because Idris Elba doesn't bring anything into the drift, because he's a boring guy, apparently.
Anyway, main character dude, whose name escapes me yet still, has a new co-pilot.
Hot Asian.
Nakamura.
Yeah.
Right? Yes.
And he ends up ejecting her out of the Jaeger, Gypsy Danger, as Gypsy Danger is falling through the rift to the other side with a nuke attached to its back. He arms the nuke, has to get out of there, but not before seeing what's on the other side. And it's just like all these clones of monsters, because Another thing we learned from the drifting and from the Charlie Day fucking scientist dude is that all of the kaiju are clones, so they just keep cloning and cloning and cloning and making more of them.
Big plot point was that the kaiju were not just some aliens that were wandering over here. They were like a bioweapon created by aliens as a way of conquering.
Terraforming the new world to make it
yep.
habitable. We also find out that the dinosaurs were their first attempt at this, and it ended up failing because the
climate just wasn't ready for them. No, they killed the dinosaurs.
So we fucked it up with all of our...
Yeah, they killed the dinosaurs. And they couldn't survive. Yeah, and they couldn't survive in the oxygen-rich environment originally, so they waited for us to ruin the planet.
But the dinosaurs were their first attempt at taking over the world.
Well,
let's get into it, Chowder. I want to derail the whole thing.
Anyway, we fucked up the world. No, we're running out of time. Let me fucking talk.
Yeah, that's the point.
You do this shit every time, dude. Anyway, we ruined the Earth with all of our... global warming, pollution, whatnot. So now it's more habitable for these kaiju. But anyway, Gypsy Danger falls through the rift, blows up the nuke, seemingly closing the rift. He floats up. It's kind of hinted at that he's dead for a while, but then he comes back to life. He's just like, you're squeezing me too tight. Stop hugging me. So the ending kind of sucks. But he saved the day. It's all good.
Pacific Rim 2.
Until Pacific Rim 2, where the rift opens up again!
I haven't seen that yet, but I really want to.
Neither have I. John Boyega, gonna fuck it up.
All right, let's move on to Keenan. Keenan?
That's me. Full Metal Panic, which was originally a light novel series, although I never read the light novels because I'm frankly not that otaku. Anyway... basically, follows this cat named Sosuke. He's a member of a covert anti-terrorism private military organization type place. I don't know if they're government. They're vaguely not government, vaguely government, called Mithril. And they have giant robots. And they use their giant robots with imagination drives. Technically, it's not called an imagination drive. It's called like a Lambda drive or something. The point is, it's basically powered by how much willpower you have. It's like imagination drive.
So basically, powered by the Green Lantern.
Yeah, gotcha. Basically. But most of that is the background plot. The main plot is him living a civilian life, trying to protect this girl who at first knows something, and then he's just kind of protecting her the whole time from like the bad guys, because she was like kidnapped at one point. It's kind of ridiculous.
Yeah, also she's like some sort of special kind of person who has all this hidden knowledge in her head that...
That's right. She is one of the Whispered. I totally forgot about that. Yeah, they have in their like subconscious technologically advanced knowledge and everyone wants their hands on it. So she's, you know, being protected by him because they don't want to, you know, let her knowledge fall into the wrong hands. You know, but the main story is mostly like... the romance between them, and with a lot of, like, it's split between the mecha anime and, like, the school life anime, because he's just trying to, like, be a normal civilian, but he's never had, like, a normal life.
Yep.
But the robots are pretty cool. One of my favorite anime arcs was in this show, which was when he was tasked with going to hunt down the bad guy for the second time, because he's already killed him, but he didn't kill him the first time. And, like, I got a little annoyed with that subplot, though, because he's with a bunch of these mercenaries, and they're like, ah, what do you know, kid? He's like, I mean, I fought this guy twice. And, like, I'm also a soldier. They're like, ah, no, you're just a child. What do you know? It's like, listen to him. But I liked how after the first encounter, where the mercenaries lost some people, and they're like, all right, maybe we should listen to this kid. That, like, gets squashed real quick. It was nice. But the robots in that are more used in, like, a very... they're not, like, as big as, you know, the Pacific Rim robots.
Yeah, they're more like tanks.
They're, like, three stories high, at most. Three stories. So good. Yeah. And they have guns. because someone was smart enough to give a robot a gun, which was great. Oh, and they also have knives. Why a robot needs a knife to fight another robot, you know, turns out it's pretty useful.
I mean, I guess the same reason why Gypsy Danger has a sword.
Which, honestly, I think within the lore should not have worked. Because if you have to be in sync to make anything on the fucking robot work, he did not know there was a sword, so how could... It's only half the power doing it. Shouldn't have worked. Yeah, so the robots are kind of like more just like tanks, and it's very mecha with someone piloting it and whatnot. You know, I always liked the design of them. They looked very functional. They weren't just kind of like in Mega XLR, where it's like, this kind of looks cool, you know?
Megas.
Sorry, in XLR, where the robot just kind of looks cool. And, like, they kind of throw things in about, you know, oh, it's also got, like, missiles in its chest, but also at one point, like, that weird, like, a black hole beam shoots out of it, and also, it also has giant speakers in theirs, too. But also, it wasn't, like, a comedy series, so I get it.
All right, that concludes the domain, so let's move on to the discussion. Giant robots are just inherently not an efficient thing in real life. Like,
yeah,
right now.
No, like ever, because like the whole joints thing and like a human body, but like scaled up to a 50 feet or even just three stories doesn't really work. Giant robots are kind of inefficient in real life, but like we love telling these stories, so oftentimes there's like the scale on a scale of ignore it, it's just cool, like Megas XLR, to like more trying to make it believable and realistic. Where does your giant robot lie, Pat?
I'm definitely a 10. Like, I don't care that... I don't watch things because I want them to be possible.
Which one's 10?
I thought 10 was ignore the fact that it's impossible and it's super cool.
I thought that'd be 1, because the other side was realistic, so...
Yeah, it's cool as fuck. So, I'm totally down with the fact that it's not possible to do that shit in real life, because... I don't watch things or I don't play things because I want them to be realistic, unless, like, the purpose of the game or movie is to be realistic. Like, obviously that has its place. But there's also the place of giant robots fighting giant monsters just because it's cool as fuck and, like, you like to see cool CGI and action things and see how technology has come forward in the movie world. So I personally very much enjoy the giant robot genre.
And Keenan, where does your anime lie in this?
More realistic. Because the scale is not huge, literally. It's like three stories high, and they're very, like, used for reasonable things you would expect, like, robots to be used for, as kind of like tanks, and used in tank-like fashion. So it's not some, huge robot, and this will be the thing that defends our planet. It's like,
punching each other.
Oh, they're punching each other, I think, aren't they?
We have 12 robots that we use for, like, forward assaults. It's the way of the future. We still have, like, everything else. They have weaknesses. They still have to use guns, you know. But I agree with Pat when he says, like, giant robots and pretty much everything in that has giant robots. It's just spectacle because it looks cool.
Yeah.
I think that any sort of giant robot movie depends on it having giant robots. If Pacific Rim used anything else besides a giant robot to fight the kaiju, would not have been such a good movie.
In all of these, ridiculous amounts of destruction to pretty much everything around them, especially Megas XLR, which...
Not Full Metal Panic.
Where it's like an episodic thing that Jersey City gets... burned to the goddamn ground by the end. Recent criticism that has come up against, like, superhero films and could possibly be applied to giant robot stuff as well is that because superhero films are so big on, like, destroying everything and, like, you know, the heroes are usually involved in that destroying, there's this unfortunate implication that it is okay to cause as much havoc and destruction in the name of stopping some sort of evil, so long as we get them terrorists or get them bad guys or whatever. And, like, whatever justification can feels more like excuse making. And so how do you feel about that as applied to, like, giant robot stuff?
I I have some feelings.
I think in the case of Pacific Rim, without the kaiju, I mean, without the Jaegers there in the first place, the kaiju were just going to destroy the world anyway. So any destruction caused by the Jaegers and stopping the kaiju is less than the damage that would have been if they just let the kaiju run rampant. Obviously, you want to try to minimize the damage done, which is why they engage the kaiju out in the ocean as much as they possibly can, because it's far away from all the populated areas. But I think superhero movies kind of deal with it in a good way because they usually have some sort of remorse, like Superman in Batman vs. Superman and in Superman when he fights Zod.
I don't really see any kind of remorse or like actually consider the consequences of randomly destroying the city. Like, people take him to task on it, but he doesn't really...
Well, let's stick to the...
There's literally this moment when he's... like fighting General Zod, he looks around and sees that he destroyed a city and he gets all sad, and then they start fighting again. Like, but you also have the moment in Civil War when they're supposed to sign that treaty to become accountable for their actions because of what happened when what's his name blew himself up and killed a bunch of people. So like, I don't think it's a fair criticism to say like, oh wow, these good guys are destroying a lot of stuff to stop the bad guys when the bad guys were literally gonna kill everybody.
Yeah, and going off that, when it comes to superhero movies and giant robot movies, is the stakes are always absurdly high, you know, to keep it the spectacle of it.
Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, things are gonna get destroyed because that's the stakes. And I just want to say that Full Metal Panic actually mostly happens on, like, battlefields. And, like, there's some, like, stuff that happens within towns and, like, cities, but that's, like, usually evacuated. And that's not like, it's not something that happens. Everyone's like, oh, I guess we'll just hang around here. And same thing goes for, you know, Pacific Rim is like, a lot of times, at least in the things we're talking about, people take into consideration, oh, yeah, it doesn't happen around populated areas most of the time. And that's because they take a little bit more of a realistic, it's a military application. They just don't pop up. But like I said, I think you need to not be so critical about that when you're thinking about these kinds of movies, because that's the spectacle. Those are the stakes. Is it realistic? No, but so are giant robots or, like, imagination drives or, you know, a V8 Mustang for a head of a robot.
Yeah.
True. And to an extent, I do agree. But if I may provide a counter-argument...
Counter-argument? We're nowhere near that section.
Like, no matter how unrealistic you make something, it will always have an applicability to the real world. And, you know, people often see, like, the kind of destruction you see in Hollywood movies or superhero movies or giant robot stuff and, like, see that, like, there's a similarity to, like, how warfare is handled, you know? Like, America comes into a nation and, like, causes a bunch of collateral damage in an attempt to stop someone and then goes, hey, but we got the guy.
I think that's vastly different because the stakes of that war aren't as high as, like, something like a kaiju coming. Because, like, yes, it's bad that, like, there are terrorists beheading people and it's not necessarily our job as the United States to go in and save those people. But if an alien threat comes that can wipe out the entirety of the Earth within a span of a couple days, I think it's worth the destruction that we cause stopping that. Whereas if a terrorist cell were to take over the world, it would take months, years, like a very long time, and they would be met with resistance along the way that can equal their force.
Right.
The thing with kaiju and the thing with all these world eaters like Galactus and shit, they have no equal. So we have to set up such a large counterattack.
Yeah, I get it. So it's like, they're so absurd that, like, I guess they're kind of divided from reality, just like how Megas XLR makes, through parody, makes everything so absurd that, like, the destruction of Jersey City just doesn't really register, I guess, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's also, you know, for comedic effect, I feel.
It's for comedic effect, and it's also, I think, to appeal to a smaller audience, because, like, a kid doesn't want to think about the fact that a billion people just died. Like,
as a child,
but
I didn't really super think about that. I was always concerned about people in cars as a child, looking back. Because cars would always, like, blow up, and I'd always be like, wasn't there someone driving that?
Or get
stopped. At least with buildings we can, like, lie and be like, oh, well, no one was in that building.
They
but, like,
it,
that car was moving, someone was driving that. Come on. Like, I was watching Iron Man the other day, and I was like, Jesus, he's, like, hitting all these cars. That's, like, people. That's a motorcycle. Oh, there goes a guy. Jeez. No wonder superheroes get sued all the time.
All right, so that was a bit of a more serious question. So here's something a bit more sillier. Who's got the dopest robot out of the three of our domains? debate it out.
Do we have to pick our own?
I mean, you don't have to.
Clearly, Pacific Rim has the better robots, just cooler.
I would also agree. Yeah, they're cooler, and they just have super. Like, they each have something unique about them, I suppose, in the sense that there's the Chinese one has three arms and it takes three pilots.
Screw every other pilot besides Gypsy Danger, because they were trash.
Yeah, like, they were, but at the same time, like, I'm just talking about the robot. Oh yeah, they were cool.
Yeah. True. No doubt.
Yeah. Fun fact, like, I think they originally wanted, like, quadruplets for that robot, or, like, but, like, they couldn't find, like, any quadruplet actors, so they just went.
I feel like that just would have been too many arms. Yeah, that would have been ridiculous. You know? The triple arm is a good balance. So, yeah, I think the robots in Pacific Rim are the coolest. Yeah. But, I also find Megas XLR to be pretty cool in the sense that it can time travel, assuming it works.
Megas XLR as a robot kind of annoyed me because, like, I get that you need this for plot points or a plot device, but how could a robot that's so advanced be reprogrammed and rebuilt by some punk in his garage, which, by the way, somehow had a very deep basement?
I mean, that's kind of the
joke. But at the same time, also be too advanced for him to fully understand it.
That's kind of the joke. He's so incompetent that he's kind of bumbling.
No, but what I mean is I don't get how he rebuilt it and put in new stuff.
He's also like, how did
any of this work? I'm like, what are you talking about? You're the one who built this.
That's the joke. He's just forced gumping his way through the fucking rope mecha genre, you know?
Hey, like, Forrest Gump could catch a football and he could run, all right? This would be like if Forrest Gump would somehow win all the state records, yet trip all the time.
Yeah, exactly. It's taking, like, the stupid shonen protagonist and, like, cranking the dial all the way up to 11. Like, what if he is the dumbest? Like, I don't know. I find the humor in Megas XLR hilarious because it'll just be stuff like Coop, like, presses a button in the robot. And then, like, 5 minutes later, he's about to press the button. And on the button, it's labeled, the same button you pressed 5 minutes ago. And, like, suddenly Megas does a completely different thing. It's a,
kind of breaks the fourth wall, I guess, a little bit. Yep. Or it's self-criticizing in the humor, which is nice.
Yeah.
I guess.
And I just love how ridiculous, how ridiculous everything gets, you know? Like, how, like, it can just, like, have missiles all up the ass on it. And
no, like, I'm okay with that. I just thought we establish, like to me, like, first episode, I was like, all right, so Coop's, like, he may be like a jerk, but he's not like a moron. He must understand this stuff somehow, because, you know, like, he had to rebuild all of it. And then in later episodes, he's like, I don't know what that was or how to do that. I'm like, but you hooked that up to that button. How did you not know that would happen?
It's the magic of television.
Yeah, like, I'm fine with it, like, because it's a comedy series and I don't have to, you know, doesn't have to, like, matter. But still, it threw me off for future episodes. So do we have questions, Chowder?
All right. This question is from Janabi. Oh, hey, she was a guest in the last episode. Awesome. Yep. Well, yes, so she asks, how large does a robot have to be before you classify it as giant?
5 stories.
Excellent question.
No, yeah, I feel like...
Because, like, the robots in Fullmetal Panic are, on average, 2 to 3 stories, but they're not really that big. That's not really big. That's the size of a genie lift, right?
But that's not giant. Yeah, like, compared to the robots that we have today...
Yeah, we're not talking about what we have today. We're not talking about today. We're talking about...
We're just talking about robots in general. That includes robots we have today.
I guess by that logic, that anything larger than a chair is giant.
Well, no, because we have robots that are the size of people.
Yeah, we do.
Well, so, like, I would say... If you're too big to fit into a building, then you're giant.
Like I said, if I can't fit you inside a theater with a good, like, height.
If you can step on a car and just, like, crush it immediately, you're giant.
Yep, let's go with that. If you can't fit into a building, you're giant. Thank you, Jonaby. We hope to hear from you soon.
Yeah, indeed. And if you want to submit a comment, we put a post out every week.
Access questions. Nothing too personal, though.
It's going to be great. Oh, you can get personal with it. I'll answer personal questions if you have them. Right. I'm an open book.
Hey, Pat, what a color underwear are you wearing right now? Ha! Gotcha.
I think it's pink. Yep.
You a tidy-whitey man or a boxer brief kind of guy?
These are boxer briefs, but they're, like, spandexy because I didn't like
them. All right. Cool. Good to know. See, folks? We will answer any question. Well, Pat will.
Pat will.
And he will also ask any question.
I try.
All right, let's move on to the rating. Thank you both for the discussion. So we're going to begin by having each of our representatives rate the topic on a scale of 1 to 5. For this episode, it's going to be on a scale of 1 to 5, ruined ashes of Jersey City.
Thought you were going to go with slushies.
You know, a single ash isn't that big.
Yeah.
Well, maybe he's going to give out the golden
true,
slushies.
True.
You know, destroyed ruins of Jersey City.
Yeah. All right, really enjoyed Megas XLR for what it is. It was very funny and had some pretty decent plot lines, I suppose. But, I mean, it had good plot lines for if I was a child watching this, which is what I'm assuming the audience was meant for. It would have been hilarious and I would have loved it. But as an adult, looking back on it, it doesn't really have a lot of value. It's more of a nostalgia thing. Like, oh, I remember watching cartoons like this when I was young. It's enjoyable. So, overall, I think I would give it 3.5 ashes of Jersey City. Jersey shitty. Because it is like a well put together and funny show, but it just doesn't really appeal to me as an older individual now.
Alright, Keenan.
So I actually had the chance, the fortune, to have seen some episodes of this when I was younger. So I'm giving this 1 star. No, that's not true.
Wow.
That's 2 stars. 2 stars. 2 ruined ashes of Jersey City.
I love how you had to stop a little bit to make sure you didn't do the same thing.
Yeah, I didn't want to give it 1 because I could see how some people would like this. It's one of those things. I personally didn't really find it that funny. I found the animation inconsistent because like sometimes it was really good, other times it was just trash.
Yeah, such as that MTV style, I guess.
Yeah, I found Coop like really annoying, and whatever his friend's name was constantly, Jamie was constantly fantasizing about like enslaving his friends, so really that should have been able to buy me over, but like, you know, it just didn't work out. But I can see how like people would enjoy this. And I thought that, like, as I'm older, that maybe, like, I would enjoy it more than when I was a child, but, I didn't. So, but I can understand that, like, you enjoyed it, and Pat, you enjoyed it. So, like, I can see how people would enjoy it, but I personally didn't. So that's why I'm giving it 2 instead of 1. So it's 2.
All right.
It's fair.
All right. With that out of the way, let's move on to the gold star, where I give one of these two what is effectively a gold star for, best contributing to the conversation. And for this episode, the gold star is going to be the golden, not slushy, but I had to look this up, but like, Coop's car, the car that he replaces the robot's Megas's head for, it's apparently a 1970 Plymouth Cuda convertible with a apparently those things are fucking rare, so yeah, let's go with that. The golden Cuda convertible.
You mean Barracuda?
And I will be giving it to, drum roll please, Barracuda, maybe?
I never heard to call it Cuda before. That's kind of fun. I like that.
Anyway, Patrick Brem. Pat Brem.
What's up? Patty Cakes. What's good? I love the cars.
Good.
Break out the explosions.
Waste of a... At least of a Barracuda to put on a robot head, I'll say it. Now that I know it's that. I thought it was some generic Mustang, but looking back, yeah, that was a Cuda. That was a Barracuda.
Thank you for bestowing this great honor upon me. I hope to do you proud with my future representations.
Does it come with the rest of the robot, or...?
No, just the car, I guess.
It's not like I could use a giant robot.
But Pat, chicks dig giant robots.
Yeah, no.
What was that?
I just popped up on my phone.
So, with that, let's just hit the outro and call it a night, because clearly we're all just really fucking tired.
Yeah, man. It's fucking ridiculous.
Alright. That about wraps it up. Thank you for listening to the Common Geeking Program. I'm your host, Taimal Chaudhary, and you can find me at Twitter, at Taimal Chaudhary. You can see how that's spelled in the description. Again, I've been joined by...
What's up? It's Patty B. You can find me on Instagram at Patty Ice Official, and that's the only thing I want to give out publicly, so
and
have fun.
You can find me, Keenan Kodish, if you dare.
Okay. Okay, next week our episode will be hosted by Keenan. Keenan, what are you?
Well, I'm hosting a Versus episode, if I remember correctly. Colin Catchin and Laura Kramer will battle it out in a sort of codish cage, if you will, for intellectual superiority and bragging rights. And I believe, like, talk of firstborn child was mentioned. I mean, I may be
Well, I think you'd have to have a child eventually for it to be a firstborn. And we all know Colin is never going
to
have kids.
Yeah, that's why I think Colin's going to try to skip out on it using that loophole. Anyway... But yeah. They will be discussing Ready Player One and debating book versus film adaption. Because we know from previous episodes, Laura's a real purist, so that should be fun to see. So tune in whenever that's coming out. In a week after this.
April the 27th.
Oh, April 27th, a mystical day. Mark it on your calendar, circle it in red, leave it around for sneaky government agents to copy.
Yeah, and follow us on Facebook or Twitter, at Geeking Program. Any engagements such as sharing a post, tagging us, or tweeting hashtag CGP will enter you into a raffle where you get to pick the topic for a future episode. Reviewing us on Apple Podcasts is a critical help to growing our show, and we'll read new reviews on the air. Anyways, thanks for listening, subscribing, sharing everything, and we'll talk to you next week.
Be well, children.
All right. This episode of the Common Geeking Program was hosted by Taimul Chowdhury, joined by Keenan Kodish and Pat Brown. This episode is sponsored by Drive. You can only do it if you have the fuel. And I do not. The podcast was created by Colin Ketchin and Jeff Levin, with this episode edited by me, Taimul Chowdhury, and original music by Colin Ketchin. Next week will be a Versus episode about Ready Player One. Be sure to read up on that. And thank you for listening to this podcast. Ciao!
Oh, sorry. No, you were speaking. There was just a lag.
I mean, whichever of you want to start first, I guess.
I mean, I was already
talking. I mean, I was, but it's the lag. So, you can go.
Okay.